could we read together one verse to begin with in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Gospel by Luke, chapter 24. And we read verse 27. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. This is what he says. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. Oh, really, beautiful verses. Jesus says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now tonight the Lord's laid a little message upon my heart. I've never taken up this line before, but I'm sure he'll give us the liberty and the ability to bring before you Christ in all the scriptures. I'd like to draw your attention to the three acts tonight. The things for himself. Let us look at the three acts spoken of in the Old Testament. You know, the offspring of Christ in one way or another, I thought the day is a type, nevertheless, I would like to begin where the Lord Jesus has suggested tonight, beginning at Moses. So we'll begin with the Ark of the Lord, Moses. And I'd like to put a little heading over them. In the first act, the Ark of the Lord, we're going to start bringing in Moses. I would suggest we have his incarnation and his humiliation. Secondly, Noah's Ark, which I think would bring before us his death and resurrection. Then we have the Ark of the Covenant, which would speak of his ascension and exaltation and intercession. I'm always charmed, you know, when the Lord invites us into the Old Testament. I feel we might begin in the Old Testament. I know it's in typology, but when the Lord suggests it to us, beginning at Moses. You know, the Lord made much of Moses, didn't he? It's very striking that Moses is the prophet who is spoken of more in the New Testament than any other prophet from the Old Testament. He's mentioned more times than any other prophet in the New Testament. And the Lord spoke much about Moses, didn't he? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses wrote of me. In the Mount of Transfiguration, who did he see? Moses and Elias. And in this chapter, he speaks about Moses, the law of Moses, beginning at Moses. So he speaks much about Moses. And Moses was a remarkable man, wasn't he? Now we're going to look a few verses in Genesis now. Sorry, in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 2. Now we'll read about Moses. I think you can see his incarnation coming in here. Chapter 1, verse 22, just to get connection. Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, he shall cast into the river, and every daughter, he shall save alive. And there was a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. There's a nice little point here, I don't want you to miss. She could not hide him any longer. In Mark's Gospel, there's a nice little clause, and it says this in relation to our blessed Lord. He could not be hid. What a nice choice. He could not be hid. I tell you this, brother, he cannot be hid tonight. The body of Christ is here, you know. It's not, he cannot be hid. Mind you, the one who would like to hide him, but he cannot be hid. This child, he could not be hid. You see, God's heart was upon him. You'll notice Moses, when we get Moses, we get his breath, how it grew, just like the Lord Jesus. You remember David? Whenever Jesus appeared, he wanted to take his life of this child. But he could not be hid. And then he goes on to tell us, verse 6, just to get the connection, and when she had opened it, God, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. Ah, he wept. What a lovely picture this is of the Lord Jesus. He was the man of sorrows, wasn't he? The babe wept. You remember Simeon when he had the babe in his arms? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The babe. And you know in the Gospels we get him as a babe. As a boy in the temple, chapter 4. Luke's Gospel. And then we get him as God's beloved. Thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know the babe wept. You know, I was thinking about how the Lord wept over Jerusalem, you know. I remember our dear brother Oswald Gunderson and I standing, you know, in the Holy Land when we were there. And we read this scripture together, you know. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have got thee, the hand of God and her blood under her wings, but you would not, he could weep over the sick, he wept over the sick. He wept at the grave of Lazarus, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept. We were saying in our Bible reading a few weeks ago, if we shed more tears, I believe we'd have more blessing. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The big way. The next little point is in verse 10. He says, and the child grew, and the child grew. fruits by the Lord Jesus, it grew in grace, grew in stature with God and men, grew. We shall grow up before Jehovah as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground, Isaiah 53. He grew up. He grew up before Jehovah. A few years ago, I was at a funeral one day, and my eye caught an old man in the cemetery. Oh, I said, I must have a word with this man. He was an old schoolmaster of ours in Kukente. I hadn't seen him for years. He was nearly 90, I would say then. I went over to him and I said, Mr. Hunter, looked at me. I said, I don't suppose you remember me. You handled hundreds and hundreds of lads in school. I just wanted to thank you for the day at school when you made every one of us read Isaiah 53. I said, mind you, it was only quoted to me then, but it's a living reality to me now. And you know, the old man's face had beamed up. I would to God a good school teacher like that could be. Every one of us in that class had to stand up and say Isaiah 53 off by heart. School started with the Bible open every morning, praying in Christ. How sad things have been a landslide today. They have shut the book, closed it. No religious instruction now. How thankful we came up in that age. Well, Isaiah 53 has always been precious to my soul, and more saved after we got to know it. And he grew up before Jehovah as a tender plant. Now when we see Moses in manhood, there are some lovely touches which are worth repeating. First of all, he's the only man in the Bible that I know of who was designated 6 times as the man of God. Moses, the man of God. 6 times. I believe God yearns for men of God today. We're living in a difficult age, and one feels it as much as anyone here. There's all sorts of things to take our attention away from Christ. But I believe heaven yearns for men of God. And Moses was a man of God. It says he was the meekest man in all the earth. And you know, when we think of these things, we kind of but think of Christ. This is where we find Christ in all the scriptures, don't we? Think of the Lord's words. Come unto me, he said. Oh, you that labour and are heavy laden. And you know there are many saints who are labouring and heavy laden tonight. But he wants us to come to him. Learn of me, he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest, rest for your souls. What a grand thing it is to be restful in his service. Restful until we see his face. And rest all around us. We can rest in his love. We can rest in the Lord. Come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest. And I was thinking, you know, about meekness and lowliness. And I thought, well, I think meekness we can link up with suffering. And lowliness with service. But it's faster done. You can think about it. Now we're going to read a few verses in Hebrews 11, just to finish up with the Ark of the Bold Rushes before we pass on. Here we have God's Galileo, heroes of faith. And seven verses in this chapter speaks about Moses. Verses 2-3. Where is the chapter? Wife eight, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And the women afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was counted years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now listen to the verse I want to draw your attention to. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How many of us would make this choice to suffer? You know, our Lord Jesus, when he came into this world, he continually reminded his own he was to suffer and he was to die. But he would rise again the third day. Here was Moses. Rather make this choice to suffer with the people of God. We know he lived 120 years, it has been mentioned, I dare say you have heard it before, but perhaps there are some young ones here tonight who haven't heard his life divided up into the three parties. Well, he was 40 years in the palace, learning to read something. But you remember he had run free for his life, backside of the desert, 40 years learning that he was nothing. But his last 40 years, he was the leader of the children of Israel, learning that God was everything. I suppose we have to go through that training, don't we? God has his way of putting us through the training. We're in the training school, you know. We're at school. We're in the school of God. It's the best school. Best school in the world. It goes on for every other college is closed. And here was Moses, the man of God, the Ark of the Moses. I hope we found something of Christ in the first one. Now we'll go to the second one. Book of Genesis. We find his incarnation and his humiliation. Genesis chapter 6. Here we have Noah and his act. Speak to us of Christ's death and resurrection. Just a few touches here and there. Chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. I wonder what he sees tonight. I wonder how it affects God tonight. To look down upon Great Britain. Because they've turned their back upon God and they desire the Bible very close. And they're living in sin, wickedness, abounding on every hand. Now you don't need me to tell you that. I suppose you all feel it. But it will remind us that the end is the coming of the Lord God's knife. So we go on. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. That day it must have been a wicked day. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. My heart was touched in a way that I will destroy man. However, we come to verse 8, and we come to that but. You know, we often speak about the buts in Scripture, but this is a very important one. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that statement, because this is the first time grace is mentioned in the Bible. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the first time that grace is mentioned in the New Testament, it's in relation and reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of God was upon him. Luke's Gospel. These are the generations of Noah. Noah, have a look at this man. Noah was a just man. Perfect. In his generation, and Noah walked with God. I think there are three W's we can well link up with Noah. Noah walked with God. And Noah worked for God. He prepared the ark. He was a worker. And you know, we need workers today. Fields are white to harvest. Labourers are few, mind. Labourers are few. There's a call for zealousness, diligence in the things of God. And Noah, you remember when he came out of the ark, the first thing he did was he set up his altar and he worshipped God. We sang about this tonight, didn't we? Oh, we reached the Father. Father, seek it, worship us, you know. Worship him in spirit and in truth. And you and I have the ability and the capability to do this, you know. We're born again. We're born into the family of God. We can address him as our Father. You can worship God in spirit and in truth. Oh, the Father seeking worship us. Today, Mike, seeking him today. Father seeking to worship us now, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And in the good that we can worship God. Worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now we jump a bit down and we get Noah and he starts to build the ark. Now we must come to the next chapter, chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou, all thy house, all thy house, into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 7. And Noah went in. I think we've got a lovely touch here. Noah went in. You know, when they went into that ark, it was the safest place they could be in the universe. You know why? Because God told them to go in. You know why? He shut the door. Verse 16. And he shut the door. God shut the door. And when Noah and his family was in there, it was the safest place he could be in. The rain came down. Where is the safest place to be in this universe? I think the safest place to be is to realize that you and I are in Christ. We're in Christ. If any man be in Christ, there is new creation. New creation. We're in Christ. What a joy it is. We sang it, didn't we? We stand in Christ, the heaven of man. He's put us there, we're in Christ. We're shut in, and we're thankful to be in Christ, aren't we? Chosen in Christ, the whole foundation of the world. If any man be in Christ, there is new creation. And we're waiting on the Lord Jesus to come, and he's the dead in Christ that's going to rise us. So whether we're life or death, we're in Christ. brings a big joy to my heart to realize this. Aren't you thankful you're in Christ in the world at least we're living in? I thank him every day for the day we were brought to rest within the circle where love's treasures are displayed. There we drink the living waters, we taste the joys that never fail. Joys of this world, you know, like a bubble. You know what Barney says? Pleasures are like poppy spray. Seeds of flower, bloom shade. Like a snowflake on a river. Moment white, gone forever. But you see, we're linked up with the Father. The Father's house, Father's hand, Father's heart, Father's love, Father's joys. What a joy it is to be brought to rest within the circle. You see, we're in the best family, largest family in the world, the family of God. And we're about to be ushered someday very soon in the Father's house. Well, no one will shut it. Now we'll turn now to one verse in the gallery again of Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as, not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared. I want you to notice that one. He was a man of preparation. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and he became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, lastly, in connection with Noah and his ark, Peter's first epistle, chapter 3. And I suppose, given it a dispensational aspect, the ark, you know, is a place of safety. But in the coming day, when the church is gone, I believe it will be linked up with the remnant that will go through the tribulation. They'll be preserved. God will see you. They'll call his witnesses and they'll be preserved through the tribulation. Mind you, the church is not going through the tribulation. Yeah. We're going to heaven. We're going to glory before that takes place. But there's a remnant. God will see to it. Those in the ark will be preserved, will cut it through the tribulation, given its dispensational aspect. Now here we have his death and resurrection mentioned. I gave that over the heading over Noah and his ark, and I think we can see it very clearly in the few verses I'm going to read. It's a good thing to be able to get chapter and verse to what you're saying, isn't it? Well, it's the end of verse chapter 3 and it's the end of verse 20. While the ark was preparing the days of Noah, within few that is eight souls. Eight's a new beginning, isn't it? Eight souls were saved by water. The light figure whereunto even baptism. Of course, you know that what baptism speaks of? Yeah. Then in the middle of the verse, it's the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There we have his death and resurrection. In his death, the end of all flesh came before God. Sin, flesh, and the world were judged at the cross. So death and judgment are behind us. And grace and glory on before. So I think we can will see in the one is up, we can see the thought of death, his death and resurrection. And finally, the Ark of the Covenant. Hebrews 9. First covenant, and also ordinances of divine service in bodily sanctuary. For there was the tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, bringing the light, the table and the showbread, food, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, tabernacle, which is called the holies, which had the golden censer. I think the golden censer would set forth what man is for God. He's made us purpose worshippers. If you speak of worship. Then it speaks about the Ark of the Covenant. Speaks of Christ, isn't it? In the Old Testament, I think it's in Joshua, chapters 3 and 4, I think it is, we get the Ark designated with four titles there. I don't want you to look it up, I'll just pass it on, you can check it up yourself. And I think we could fit the four Gospels into them. For instance, I think in chapter 3 we have it spoken of as the Ark of the Covenant of all the earth, bringing in the nations, which I suggest would be Matthew's Gospel. So you think we find Christ in all the scriptures, but we find them in all his own perfection, don't we? Personified in himself in the Gospels. I could well understand Mr. McGroom saying with the Gospels, we can read them, keep reading them with the Gospels. And the next time it's mentioned, it's the Ark of the Testimony, which I would suggest would be Mark's Gospel, the servant character, carried the testimony. Oh, a wonderful testimony you have. As a matter of fact, I'm going through Mark's Gospel just now, more in private reading, and it's lovely, you know. He could not be it. Oh, a lovely touch is it, the servant. God says he was my righteous servant. In Isaiah 53 he says, my righteous servant, behold my servant, whom my soul delighted. And we see him in this servant character as the Ark of the Testimony. That's Mark's Gospel. And then we have the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, which we suggest Luke's Gospel. God's man. And all the lovely touches we have in Luke's Gospel. The anointed man. Man of God's pleasure and satisfaction. And lastly, we have in John's Gospel, we have this for the fourth time it's mentioned in Joshua 4, I think it is, the Ark of the Lord. Behold your God. God manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in this world, received in glory. And you know, I was just reading this morning, God has given many sons to glory. What a glory, you know. We're bound for glory. Overlaid about with gold. Gold speaks of divine righteousness in Christ. The golden pot with manna speaks of a life of perfect love, always treasured up before the heart of God, what God saw in him. Aaron's rod which suggests resurrection and body. Tables of the covenant, which suggests the will of God. Lord, I come to do thy will, O my God. And we have the cherubims of glory that God's claim to his name. The Ark of the Covenant sets forth what God is for man. But we must go to chapter 24, to verse 24, I should say. And here it is. He's gone within the veil. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. There we have his ascension, his exaltation. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, and we have his intercession. For he ever liveth to make intercession for us. What a wonderful provision God has made for us. There's a man in the glory who's looking after our affairs. He appears in the presence of God for us. He's looking after our affairs in glory. There's a divine person down here looking after our affairs down here. The Spirit of God dwells in each and all of our hearts. And apart from his help in the scriptures, we wouldn't know nothing of the glory and the greatness and the beauty of Christ. The Lord Jesus said about the Spirit, he shall glorify me. And the Spirit's work today is glorifying Christ. And this is what makes the book live. Spirit makes it live. The Lord says, as the living Father has sent me. You see, we're linked up with the living Father, the Holy Father, the righteous Father, the living God. And there's a living man, the man Christ Jesus in heaven. And the Spirit of God is a living water. And how delightful it is as we come together, brethren, in the Bible reading nights. We have done scholars, haven't we? But the Spirit brings his glory now. Fresh touches we get as the Spirit brings Christ before our souls. And I believe today this is what the saints need. I know I need it. It's holiness of Christ. We need our hearts warmed up. What not Christ will suffer these things and to enter in to glory. In our hearts, burn within us, or they talk with us, by the way. My, we need our hearts warmed up. I need some of this. But the Spirit's able to do this. Think of the things of Christ and present them to our souls. And here we've reached it, haven't we? His ascension, his exaltation, his intercession. He's the mediator between God and man, the gospel light. If we sin, we can advocate with the Father. What a provision God has made for us. Infirmities, touch with the feelings of our infirmities. Ah, he knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore trials means, for he has felt the same. What a wonderful Savior we have. Well, I've come to the end of my little work tonight. I hope you've been warmed up. I hope we found Christ in those scriptures. The three arcs. Ark of the bulrushes. His incarnation. His humiliation. Noah's Ark. Death and resurrection. Ark of the Covenant is essential. His exaltation and his intercession for us. May God bless that work for his name.